Certainly appreciate the preaching that's gone before, and also the depth of the lesson that Brother Mike has presented to us. That comes from, I'm sure, more than one decade of study of those three chapters. In fact, one of the chapters that I was hung up on early on, whenever I was meeting together with Elder Tom Humble in his living room on a regular basis each Wednesday night, was Romans chapter 1. And it was like a broken record. We just kept going back to Romans chapter 1. And I'm not sure that we ever settled it, but I believe that Brother Mike has presented it in as concise and a clear way this evening. And I appreciate that, and I feel like it's of the Lord. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you this evening. It's been a good day. The Lord has blessed us with safe travels. He has blessed us with gracious rain here in Georgia. I know it's been a bit of a frustration in some aspects, but in others it is indeed a blessing from heaven the Lord is bestowing upon us. The text I have on my mind this evening is John 6 and 37. This is one of actually about three or four that I have swimming through my mind, but we'll just trust and pray that the Lord will see fit to bless our thoughts on this and bless our efforts this evening. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Now, there are some that would like to present this text as a gospel text, meaning that all that the gospel is preached to will come to me, and that is held among some pockets around the United States of America, but that's not what the text is teaching. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh, and we obey His commands. When He speaks, we listen, just as when He spoke and said, "Let there be light," light obeyed Him. And then whenever He collected the dust of the earth and He gathered it together and He fashioned it into the shape of a man named Adam, and He breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul, Adam obeyed God. He obeyed the command of God. He became a living soul. And this was a natural soul that God had created. And we understand there's a great consistency with God's creation of the new man. And that just as Adam could not resist the creative powers of God when he was made, we are incapable of rejecting God's command when He says unto us, "Live," and we live. And indeed, it is a command of God. But He says here, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And we understand that we come to Christ in many different ways. There are many different ways that we come to Christ. And ultimately, however, we love to hear of the preaching of the gospel, how that Christ is the firstborn among the brethren. So we understand, ultimately, we're going to be coming to Christ when He comes again a second time. So everything that's necessary in order for us to come to Christ in the resurrection when He comes again the second time must precede this. Everything necessary in order for us to live with Him in glory must to have occurred prior to His coming again the second time and taking us home to glory. So I don't want to get into splitting hairs, but sometimes we can begin to split hairs, and in some cases the Apostle Paul might equate that to beating the air like a boxer, like somebody that's boxing. But he says here, and we'll take it at face value, that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And so we understand that the Bible plainly teaches the eternal security of the Lord's people, the Lord's elect. And this text here goes far deeper than just teaching the eternal security of the elect of God. And I've described it by the term elect. It teaches election. All that the Father giveth me, that is election. All that were given to Christ before the foundation of the world, he says, shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I love the text found over in John chapter 10, where he speaks about my sheep. He says, my sheep. Notice that. The Lord Jesus Christ has some sheep, and I believe I'm among the sheep of the Lord, Jesus Christ. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, we hear His voice in regeneration, no doubt. In fact, we can't hear anything concerning God until we hear that life-giving voice of the Son of God in regeneration. When He says, my sheep hear my voice. He says, and I give unto them eternal life. But I skipped a phrase, didn't I? He says, and they follow me. They follow me, He says. Now, there are many different ways that we understand that we follow Christ. We certainly follow Christ upon the new birth. When we are born again, we look to Him and we yearn for Him. And there's a part of us that is taught of Him. I love the text found over there in Titus, where he says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. He's teaching there about the grace of God and regeneration. And that is, when we were born again, there was some teaching that took place. And, you know, I'm thankful to be acquainted with the old Baptists, because I've come to learn, and it's been revealed to me, that this occurs completely and totally outside of the gospel influence. And that is, the gospel is not required in order for us to be taught immediately and directly and effectually by God. You see, He teaches us immediately. That means that there's no go-between. There's no gospel means. There's the means of God and there's the means of the individual who's receiving it. In other words, if there's not an individual, then there's no new birth. He must exist. So an individual must live and must exist in the natural life, and he is the recipient of the life-giving voice of God. You see, brethren, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We understand that following the Lord, we follow Him in obedience. But we understand following the Lord in obedience has no bearing on our eternal outcome. We understand that following Him in obedience is a result of the grace of God that's been given to us. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. We understand that following Him is a result of His grace. But we follow Him in obedience because of the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. We follow Him in that respect. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ in water baptism. But we also understand that water baptism is not a means of eternal life. But it is an evidence of eternal life. That eternal life exists and dwells within us. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ to the best of our ability as we walk in our conversation here in this life. We do the best we can, and we understand from experience that we fail miserably many times. But we pick ourselves up from our bootstraps and we continue to attempt to follow the Lord Jesus Christ to the best of our ability. You see, the Lord's grace is amazing. The amazing grace of God. But notice what He says next. He says, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, the Lord will never disappoint us. We will never be disappointed when we're following our Lord Jesus Christ in this life. That is a promise of God. He will never disappoint. But we understand that we will follow Him ultimately and finally in the resurrection of the dead, as these vile bodies are fashioned like unto His glorious body. And that's where we will live with Him in eternity. I can't describe that. I can't place words or frame it up for you what that means. All I know is there's a great looking for that exists within the hearts and the lives of the children of God that have been born again. There's a looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that dwells inside of the hearts of God's people. Even God's people who have not been exposed to the truth of the gospel as it is in Christ Jesus. Because it's a work of God. It is something that He has performed. But notice, we'll continue on here. He says, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which He hath given me, I should lose nothing." Now, brethren, there is eternal security for God's elect. And that is, we've heard it preached all our primitive Baptist lives, that not one is going to be added to that number, and there's not one going to be taken away from that number. And I certainly hope that we don't get fatigued in hearing that kind of phraseology, that kind of preaching. Not one will be added or one taken away. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, brethren, it's a wonderful thing to understand how the Lord has saved us from our sins to the degree that He's blessed us to see. But He came down from heaven. Oh, there's a whole another weekend or months or years or lifetimes of preaching in that. He came down from heaven. And we understand He came down from heaven to perform and complete the will of the Father. And that was to save His people from their sins. He says, "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day." You see, brethren, there is a benefit in believing in the Son of God. There is a tremendous benefit in believing on Him. Now, I think sometimes we may be a little hard on the word belief. But look at the word belief as used here and take it for the face value that the Lord Jesus speaks it. And that is, as a result of believing, we have the greatest evidence that can be had upon the face of the earth that we are in possession of at this present time, eternal life, everlasting life. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that the Lord was raised from the dead on the third day? Do you believe He's sitting on the right hand of the Majesty on high? They're making intercession for us. Do you believe and see Him as your great high priest? Do you see Him as living? Do you see Him as eternal, the eternal Son of God? Do you believe that He died for your sins when He hung upon the tree of the cross? Do you see your sins being poured out upon Him as the wrath spoken by Brother Mike of God was poured out upon Him as He hung there suspended on the tree of the cross? Do you believe that your sins were included in those that were paid for by our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you feel convicted of those sins? Do you feel guilty? Is your conscience pricked? Is your good conscience stirred up by those sins? When the laws of God written in your heart and in your mind reveal to you your transgressions, is your heart convicted? Do you feel, brethren, the Lord's chastisement upon you whenever we transgress the laws of God? Do you feel His loving kindness and correction as He deals with us as sons? For He says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." You see, brethren, if you experience those things and you have the capacity of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as your Savior, then you are in possession of eternal life. You have it dwelling within you right now. And that's a great mystery to me. I don't understand and I can't explain it. But eternal and everlasting life dwells within the hearts and lives of every single one of God's elect. And I'm thankful as a result of this eternal life that it is eternal. That it has its origins as God bestowed His love upon us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You consider it for just a moment, brethren. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. You think about that, that we should be called the sons of God. But oh, brethren, what is it to be born again? What is it to be capable of believing on Him to the ability and the extent that we have to believe upon Him? And I'm thankful for the preaching of Elder Montgomery this evening in knowing that when the Apostle Paul says over there in Romans chapter 3, and he says, "For what if some did not believe? Should their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" He said, "God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar." The only way this can be recorded in Holy Scriptures is because salvation's by grace. It's the only way it can occur. And I want you to know there are far more of God's people out here that are found denying Him in unbelief than there are found believing on Him. But that will not shorten His arm concerning the salvation of His people. And that's why it's called grace, and that's why it's called love. And it's unconditional love, brethren. And I'm so thankful that God's love is so far above our comprehension. His name is love. God is love, it says. And I'll tell you, as soon as we figure out the term love, we'll figure out God. But God is love. We understand that we love God because He first loved us. And if we have this inclination and we love God and we have a leaning towards Him and an unction of the Holy Ghost, it's because eternal life is dwelling within each one of us. And occasionally, I know that this is covering, it's not the precision preaching. I'm just not a precision preacher. And I'll have to confess that to you. And I love the gift of precision preaching. I seriously do. But that just wasn't the gift that was imparted to me. But I'll tell you, I'm so thankful, brethren, that we have been blessed to hear the preaching of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Oh, brethren. It's the power of God. There is salvation in the gospel after all, isn't there? But we understand the salvation contained in that gospel is a deliverance over and over and over and over again. As we live in this low ground of sin and sorrow, we're delivered. Our minds are transformed by the preaching of the gospel. Think about that for just a minute. As we are not being conformed to this world, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Oh, brethren, there's nothing more precious and more valuable to the child of God than the preaching of the gospel and to hear the precious truths of our Lord and our Savior. And I so much appreciate your attendance this evening, and I appreciate the things that have gone before and appreciate the good meal from this evening, and just want to extend our appreciation and our love for each one of you. May God richly bless you.